Well, we have to go back a little bit to explain the background, if I may. Back in 1980, when draft registration resumed after a 5-year hiatus after the Vietnam War, the Supreme Court was asked to look at whether it was constitutional to require only men and not women to register for the draft, as is in fact going on today. At that time, the Supreme Court said that there was a rational relationship between registering only men for a draft and the fact that the military only allowed men in combat, since the point of a draft would be to get combat troops. However, fast forward in 2015, when the government decided to open all military occupational specialties to women, they eliminated what had been the legal basis for the constitutionality of registering only men. So it's only a matter of time now, and there are lawsuits already working their way through the courts before, if Congress doesn't act, the courts will find that continuing the current registration of men only is unconstitutional. That forced Congress in 2016, in the run-up to the elections, to confront the choice of whether to extend draft registration to include women as well as men, or whether to finally put an end to 30 years of failed draft registration. Not unsurprisingly, although some members of Congress, including Colorado Representatives Mike Kaufman from the Republican side and Jared Polis, Democrat, sponsored a bipartisan bill in 2016 that would have ended draft registration, ended the penalties for people who haven't registered, and actually abolished the Selective Service system, that never came to a vote. Instead, Congress chose to punt the whole question into the Trump administration by assigning voting to create a study commission to report back 2 years later, just before the 2020 election. So what's happening now is that this congressionally mandated commission, jointly appointed by the president and Congress, is going out and holding a round of national hearings to ask the public, for the first time in decades, what we actually think about compulsory military service. And so they're coming to Denver as the second in a series of national hearings. The first was in February in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And they have a list of questions that starts with, should there be a draft? Should there be a continuation of draft registration? And then asks a variety of other questions about the potential expansion of draft registration and compulsory military or national service. They're specifically asking for input on whether women should be required to register for the draft and potentially included in a draft, or whether a draft should be expanded, as they've had contingency plans for decades at Selective Service to do, although most people aren't aware of this, to include healthcare workers, men and women, regardless of age, and whether it should also be expanded to other occupations for which the military has a particular need. And they named a variety of skills, including cyber and IT skills, STEM skills, language skills, and so forth. So they're looking very broadly at whether, again, to move in the direction of finally putting an end to a failed draft registration program and acknowledging that compliance was so low that it became unenforceable and a draft really is not a realistic policy option, whether you like it or not, or whether, on the other hand, to double down on the current system in which, while the draft is not plan A, it is, military planners have relied on the assumption that they'd always have a draft as a fallback if they needed it.
In terms of the draft and its status right now, a lot of people say what we have in effect is an economic draft, where you have people with limited economic opportunities, limited educational opportunities, or the capacity to pay for any educational opportunities. And therefore, and those are the people that you have going into the military because of the opportunities that the military says that they provide. And as a result, you have a disproportional representation of people who are from, a certain socioeconomic status. So would a compulsory draft, would that level the playing field? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are that that's sort of like saying, well, wouldn't it cause more opposition and be more fair if the police were shooting white people as well as black? I don't think expanding repression, expanding a system of essentially slavery for the purpose of militarism is going to improve things. Not only will it subject more people to the unfairness of the draft and or military service and the oppression that that brings, it simply gives the military more cannon fodder to play with. And I think, you know, the goal for me as a draft resistor, and I think for many of the others who've been involved in this, is not to keep ourselves out of the draft. You know, in 1980, when draft registration was reinstated, I was in one of the first groups of people who were supposed to register. I openly refused, and ultimately, the government found that far more people had refused to register than they had imagined, or even actually than most of us in the resistance had expected. And unable to prosecute most people, because they actually have to prove that you knew you were supposed to register, which, unless they have your own statements to use against you, would be very difficult. They decided on a strategy of picking out the most vocal non-registrants in their minds. And I was one of 20 people who were prosecuted, an infinitesimal number compared to the millions who broke the law. You know, if I wanted to keep myself out of the draft, I would have just kept my mouth shut. As it was, I was convicted and imprisoned, as were a number of the others, but ultimately that failed. The show trials backfired because they made clear to people that only those who spoke out were in any risk of punishment, that there was safety in numbers as well as safety in silence, and called attention to the vast extent of noncompliance with draft registration. So I think the point of stopping the draft is not just to stop the draft, but to take a tool out of the arsenal of the military, to constrain military policy. We've had a stalemate for decades where draft registration failed, but it hasn't ended because there's been no face-saving way for the government to end it without acknowledging, which government certainly doesn't want to do, that its power is constrained by the willingness of people to carry out its orders. You can give orders, sure. You can say jump. You can say fight. You can say kill. But if people aren't willing to do that, it's not going to happen. So I think it's a tremendous, you know, victory, but it's only half of victory. And to complete that victory, we need to get the draft machinery shut down, and we need to get broader public awareness of the fact that a draft is not a policy option for the United States, whether, again, whether you like it or not.